He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into a house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." It's the word of God for God's people. Let us thank the Lord for his reading and for our understanding this day. Well, this week is the second installment of my series of messages on the kingdom of heaven. And just to recap, last week we looked at the scriptures where Jesus describes the kingdom as being a tiny mustard seed, one of the tiniest seeds that we know of. Or also, the kingdom was compared to yeast leavening dough, or a treasure hidden in a field, or a pearl of great value, or even fish in the sea that are scooped up by a net and then separated. And some of what we tried to understand were the messages within these parables and what they have to tell us about the characteristics of the heavenly kingdom. I quoted the Episcopal priest and noted author Barbara Taylor Brown when she suggested that the kingdom of heaven is something hidden right in front of us, something that is very close and easily found if only we take the time to look for it. We also noted that the kingdom of heaven is being something much bigger than anything we can imagine and something we can look forward to with great joy. Well, this week's scripture is a bit different. It compares the kingdom of heaven to a place where good and evil will be sorted out, separated, and where the true nature of our hearts will be revealed and judged. And if we interpret the words directly, it appears that the good wheat, or those considered children of the kingdom, will spend eternity in heaven, while the weeds, or the children of the evil one, will be removed and destroyed. Well, these are difficult verses, difficult scriptures, for we're immediately left with the question, are we a child of the kingdom and therefore safe? Or are we a child of the evil one and lost? And how do we know for sure what we are? For all of us readily admit that while we are sinners saved by grace, we are still sinners. I find it interesting that of all the gospel accounts, Matthew is the only one that puts this amount of emphasis on the end of the world. The only one that mentions this furnace of fire and how there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the end of time. He's also the only gospel writer that writes about the wise and the foolish virgins and their lamps, or the separation of the sheep and the goats, and then today's parable of the wheat and the weeds. It seems Matthew wants a very clearly defined depiction of what the end times will look like, and where everything is black and white, good or bad, where people can be categorized as either faithful or wicked. They can be categorized as either blessed or cursed. Now, if Ben Malone were here, I'd tease him and say, Matthew must have been an engineer. You know, because engineers like everything well-defined, good, bad, black, white. But he's not here, so I teased him anyway. It helps, I think, to remember that each of the gospel writers wrote their accounts from different perspectives and for different audiences. The Gospel of Luke, for instance, was written by a physician who was writing to a Roman official. And one of the things that he was concerned about was making sure he portrayed Jesus as a non-threat to the Roman Empire. In Matthew's case, he was writing as a Jew. He was a Jew writing this account for other Jews. During the time of its writing in the first century, there were serious disputes between different groups within the Jewish religious faith regarding who Jesus was. Matthew seeks to highlight in his account the divinity of Christ and makes it clear that he considers the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those other religious traditionalists of the time as enemies of this new following. So it is very likely that this parable of the wheat and the weeds was intended to show that followers of the way, people that believed in Jesus Christ as the Savior, they were the good wheat, and the Pharisees and the other religious leaders were the bad weeds. You see, for Matthew, it was a clear choice. You either believed in Jesus as the Messiah, or you faced judgment and destruction at the end of the age. I'm not saying that's not true, but I think there is more here than meets the eye, and I'd like to pull back a little bit and look at some other things that perhaps we can take from this parable. Well, back to our original question, where are we? Are we a wheat or are we a weed? Are we a weed? That's alliterate, right? Many people have concerns about this because in all probability, they've seen elements of both good and bad within themselves. I certainly do. I suspect you do as well. Not just me, yourselves, I mean. And not only within us, but also in our neighbors, within our family members, within our church family, and certainly within our community, and even within our nation and the broader world. Good and bad coexisting side by side within our hearts, just like the wheat and the weeds within that field. And if we go back and look at the parable, we discover some other interesting things. First of all, the farmer, or the son of man, sows only good seed in the field. I have spent many hours thinking about the nature of evil in this world. How did things come to be so broken? How is it that evil is so prevalent and persistent? Part of our answer is right here, I think. Jesus did not sow the bad seed. Someone else or something else did that. Jesus calls him the devil. People sometimes ask me if I believe in hell and the devil. I tell them what I read in Scripture, namely the words in Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. It goes like this, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Yes, I believe there are evil forces at work in this world. Those forces oppose us in the good that we try to do in Jesus' name. It's often frustrating and discouraging and destructive. It can lead to divisive battles in our families, between our friends, and in our churches. And because of this, I think it's so important to constantly be evaluating and reevaluating our motivations and intentions. We must ask ourselves if what we're trying to do is consistent with God's plan. Is it consistent with God's plan for building His kingdom on earth and for the making of disciples for Jesus Christ? Or are we motivated by something else? And despite our best intentions, sometimes we're right and find ourselves growing wheat, and sometimes we're wrong and we contribute to the growth of weeds. Something else I noticed is that despite our best efforts, there's going to continue to be weeds in the field. There's going to continue to be evil around us in this life. But then the most wonderful realization came to me as I was reading this. Because you know what I noticed? I noticed that it's not our responsibility to destroy the weeds. I don't have to worry about the weeds. Jesus tells us not to. They're going to be dealt with. I think we sometimes think that we can improve on God's plan, and we wade out into the field pulling weeds and end up rooting up the good with the bad. You see, only Jesus has the wisdom and the discernment to sort out the weeds and the wheat. One of the things that I learned this week is that weeds that polluted the field in this parable are called darnels or tares. They are a plant that is related to wheat, and it looks very much like wheat. Perhaps a bit of a message there for us as well, don't you think? The bad weeds of the world, they look like something good and wholesome, but in fact they are poisonous. You see, darnel produces these tiny black seeds that, if you get too many of them mixed in with the good wheat, they can cause blindness and even death. Evil weeds causing blindness. I couldn't help leap to evil causing spiritual blindness and even spiritual death. No, I think it's best for us if we leave the separating of the weed from the wheat and those darnels to someone that really knows what they're doing. So our job becomes something much simpler. We are to produce the very best we can. What an incredible relief this realization can be. We need to put on the full armor of God, absolutely, and stand firm before the temptations of Satan. But the end result is already determined. Our advocate is Jesus the Christ, and Jesus will separate out the evil from the good. And I believe this includes even the evil that's within us. And evil will be destroyed once and for all. Our work is kingdom work, growing good wheat, both internally and externally. Internally, grown in our hearts, where we seek to become more Christ-like in our daily walk, where we seek to align our will with the will of the Father. We do this in a number of ways, of course, by guarding our hearts with what we hear and what we read and what we watch. And externally, where the love and grace that God pours into us overflows into those around us. By participating with others in God's kingdom, by participating with others in God's kingdom on earth through worship and service in the pursuit of justice. It's important, I think, to remember we do not earn our way into heaven. Our goodness or our badness is a reflection of the condition of our heart. And the fruits of the Spirit are well known, those indications that tell us what is the condition of our heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. If these are the qualities that define your life and define your relationships, then I don't think we have anything to worry about in the end days. For we will indeed be found with the righteous, shining like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. Let anyone with ears listen. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. And although it is warm here, Lord, we feel the gentle breeze of your Spirit in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that we would be found with the righteous. Help us, Lord, to accept your Spirit in our lives and seek to do and represent you to others around us. Guard our hearts, Lord, against the temptations of the evil one. And protect us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.